space, sunlight illuminates the darkened earth. A multitude of shafts of bright light shoot up from the surface of the globe. In white lettering, the name Universal encircles the center of the spinning globe. www.universalstudios.com. The screen fades to black. White lines appear on a light brown surface and draw concentric rings. The rings animate and revolve within one another. Working title. London, June. Rain pours down on a church covered in scaffolding. A fundraising thermometer stands outside. Universal Pictures and Studio Canal present, in association with Motion Picture Alpha, Productions Gesellschaft, MBH & Co. KG, a working title production, in association with Tiger Aspect Pictures. A small yellow Mini mounts the pavement and parks precariously. The driver gets out, shuts the door, pulls a bolt across and padlocks it, then scuttles into the church. It's Mr. Bean, a gangly chap wearing a suit. He has a rubbery face and wide, inquiring eyes. Inside, the vicar's drawing a raffle to a rain-spattered crowd. The roof is leaking.
3-1, 31. Ah, Mrs. Lucas. Congratulations, Mrs. Lucas.
A boy is playing with a train set. Mr. Bean stands on a chair.
And now, for the first prize in today's raffle in aid of the roof appeal. Thank you, Lily.
A slide of a lush, sandy beach appears on a screen.
Indeed. The magnificent holiday to the south of France, kindly sponsored by Dalesborough Travel Limited. So, thank you, guys.
Clutching his ticket, Mr. Bean shudders with excitement.
The winner of this prize will travel by Eurostar train to Paris, then catch the fast train south before spending the week on the beaches of the French Riviera. This fabulous prize also includes €200 spending money, and Barbara, this wonderful video camera, kindly donated by A&K Electrics of Arbor Road. So, thank you. Right, the winner of this amazing prize is...
Young Lily switches off the music. The vicar reaches into a bucket, takes out a ticket, unfolds it and turns to his microphone, smiling.
919.
Mr. Bean's ticket is 616. He chucks it away.
919.
It lands on a truck on one of the train cars.
Anybody have tickets? 919?
The train comes round.
If there is no claimant, I'll have to pick another ticket from the bucket.
Mr. Bean sees his ticket the other way up. He gawps.
Anyone?
Mr. Bean.
Yes! Yes!
Ecstatic, he holds up 919. The crowd parts as he walks up to the stage, frantically pointing at his winning ticket. He gets up on stage and shakes hands with the vicar, and a photographer lines up a shot. Rowan Atkinson. A little animated mini passes across the screen, leaving a trail of letters. Mr. Bean's holiday. The photographer snaps the pair. Mr. Bean holds his arms up triumphantly and waves them from side to side. The little boy watches the toy train whiz into a tunnel. A sleek Eurostar train glides out of a tunnel. Sitting in a compartment, Mr. Bean uses his new video camera to film his finger as he runs it along an arrow on a map he's drawn, from London through Paris to Cannes.
Cannes. Cannes.
He taps the map. There's a photo of a lovely beach below it. He films himself waving and giving the thumbs up. At the counter in the buffet car, he pulls faces into his camera. A stewardess appears. Coffee?
Oui.
Sugar?
Non.
You speak very good French.
Gracias.
Holding his coffee and his camera, Mr. Bean walks away stiffly. The train speeds past lush cornfields. The Eurostar arrives in a cavernous station in Paris. An automatic step pops out of the side of the carriage and Mr. Bean steps down. He films a sign. Paris, Gare du Nord. Mr. Bean walks along the platform, an expression of perpetual wonder on his face. His dark brows arch and he wrinkles his forehead as he films himself in the reflection of the train windows. He makes his way across the crowded concourse. Outside the station, Mr. Bean films an accordion player. He films a young woman as she drops a coin in the accordion case on the ground.
Merci, ma jolie.
He goes up to a taxi and shows his map to the driver. He points to a little train he's drawn.
Choo-choo, Gad the Lion.
He turns away from the silver taxi and folds up his map book. Another passenger gets into the taxi and it goes. An identical silver taxi pulls up. A suited man goes to the driver.
L'Arche de la Défense, s'il vous plaît.
To the Arch at La Défense, please.
As the man goes to get his bags, Mr. Bean picks up his and gets in the taxi. It drives him away.
Mais attendez!
The man and his wife are standing bewildered on the pavement. As the taxi speeds through Paris, Mr. Bean's in the back. Without a care in the world, he excitedly pulls faces at his camera and films the sights. The pyramid outside the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower, and the austere two-towered facade of Notre Dame Cathedral. Mr. Bean films himself as he prods his bobbly nose, then looks startled as he's bathed in harsh orange light as the taxi goes through a tunnel. He arrives at La Place de la Défense and puts his case on the ground. The taxi goes. Mr. Bean stands in a plaza surrounded by futuristic high-tech buildings. He turns and gawps at La Grande Arche, a monumental square arch with tapering sides. On the steps leading up to it, he stops a businessman. He moves his arms like a train. The businessman shrugs.
No.
Mr. Bean finds a map on a board and points to an arrow with Vous êtes ici written next to it. He finds Gare de Lyon on the other side of the city and points to that. With his arms stretched out in the shape of the route, he steps out, then presses his cheek against the map and looks down the length of the road to the Gare de Lyon. Finally, he holds up a compass and finds the correct bearing. Mr. Bean sets the compass and walks off in a straight line across the plaza. A tourist steps into Mr. Bean's path to take a photo. Mr. Bean doesn't walk round him, he just stops. The bemused tourist looks at Mr. Bean and then gets out of his way. Mr. Bean walks on, staring at his compass, which he holds out in front of himself. He goes down some steps and over the top of a couple of benches. Pigeons flutter out of his way. He stops and steps back and forth on a loose paving slab. Mr. Bean walks on down the middle of the road with the Arc de Triomphe in the distance. Cars pass by on either side. A CCTV camera turns and films him as he marches across a road, forcing cars to swerve. Two guys watch screens in a control room.
Look! Should we do anything?
Traffic stops for Mr. Bean as he strolls through a crossroads. In the control room...
Relax, I think he's English.
A man is pursued along the street by reporters.
Monsieur, how long will you stay in Paris?
Of course I'll be in Cannes Sunday for my premiere. Until then, I'm working on an exciting new project with this wonderful actress, Sylvie.
Sabine?
Right.
As photographers snap the suave director, Carson Clay, Mr. Bean walks right in front of them. He heads straight into a plush restaurant and pushes a trolley aside. A waiter turns to put a cake on the trolley and it drops on the floor. Another waiter slips over on the cake. Mr. Bean strolls towards a large imposing building and stops to look up at a sign on top of a glass awning. Gare de Lyon. He walks into the station and across the concourse, filming everything with his video camera as he goes. He films a pigeon which flutters into the air, then films a cleaner's trolley with buckets on it. He looks up at the LED train times display board and sees Cannes in yellow letters with the departure time next to it.
12:05.
The station clock hanging from the ceiling says a couple of minutes to 12. Mr. Bean heads to the platform, then stops and turns to look at a baguette vending machine. He peers through the glass front at an array of sandwiches, then glances at his train and checks his watch. He bugs the money slot with his finger, then cautiously looks round and flips up the end of his red polka dot tie. He pulls a 10-euro note from the lining and slowly unfolds it. Keeping a cautious eye out, Mr. Bean feeds his money into the slot, along with the end of his tie. Helpless, he's gradually yanked towards the machine. He looks down the platform, boggle-eyed. His train leaves. Ow! Mr. Bean's pulled flat against the machine. He clutches the knot of his tie with both hands and tries to pull it out of the slot. He grimaces as with all his might he leans back, and the tie slowly emerges back out of the money slot. Gradually, he pulls himself free. He chases the train.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
The train glides off into the distance. Mr. Bean jumps up and down. Still filming through his video camera, he checks the train times.
1 o'clock.
He points the camera around the concourse. A neon sign reads Le Train Bleu Restaurant. Mr. Bean goes in and looks around in wonder. The ornate walls and ceilings are decorated with lavish paintings. The maitre d'.
C'est pour déjeuner, monsieur.
Are you here for lunch? Follow me.
The suave, grey-haired maitre d' shows Mr. Bean to a table for two and sits him down. Two waiters sweep in and clear away a place setting. Mr. Bean looks around bewildered. The maitre d' appears, unfurls a white napkin and tries to lay it on Mr. Bean's lap. Shocked, Mr. Bean springs up. He cautiously sits again. Mr. Bean frowns at the menu. The maitre d' returns.
May I recommend the seafood platter?
Mr. Bean's clueless.
Oui.
Mr. Bean gawps at him.
Oui.
The maitre d' takes the menu and goes. Mr. Bean looks up and sees a mural of yachts on an azure sea. He films it and smiles. Mr. Bean rests the camera on the table to film himself. He checks no one's looking, then takes a bread roll from his side plate and props the camera up on it. Mr. Bean smirks and waves at the camera. A waiter arrives and puts a platter stand in front of Mr. Bean. The maitre d' lays a lavish seafood platter on the stand.
Le plateau de fruits de mer.
Mr. Bean stares at the mound of crushed ice laid in front of him, which has oysters and small lobsters arranged on it. He picks up one of the small lobsters and turns the pink crustacean so that its black bug eyes face him and its claws droop. Shuddering fearfully, he puts it back. Mr. Bean nervously picks up one of the oyster shells with its viscous, fleshy white centre. Seeing that he's a bit confused, the maitre d' comes over and mimes putting the shell to his lips, tipping it up and swallowing it. Mr. Bean smiles.
Gracias.
Mr. Bean stares at the glistening blob of raw seafood in the shell. It twitches. He glances round, raises his brows resignedly, tips the shell up to his mouth and knocks back the contents. His body judders with revulsion. The lady at the next table looks a little concerned as Mr. Bean waggles his fleshy cheeks. He gags and screws up his face, then notices the maitre d' watching. Mr. Bean smiles obsequiously, puts his fingers to his lips and kisses them, as if to say, delicious. The maitre d' grins and gestures for him to eat some more. Mr. Bean obliges, picking up another oyster. As he does so, he lifts up the bottom of his napkin, which is tucked into his shirt collar. He dips the shell up, and the maitre d' raises his hands and gives him a little clap. Mr. Bean chews voraciously and takes another oyster, but as he tips the shell, he discreetly misses his mouth and catches the flesh in his napkin. He pretends to eat one after another. A waiter goes to the maitre d' and distracts him from Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean looks down into the trough he's made with his napkin. It's swimming with oysters. He then notices the handbag of the lady next to him sitting open on the floor. The lady is busy chatting to her lunch date as Mr. Bean casually slides a knife to the edge of his table and nudges it onto the floor. The lady briefly glances at Mr. Bean, who throws up a hand as if to say, "Silly me." He leans down to pick up the knife, and as he does so, he carefully shakes the oysters out of the napkin into her handbag. He picks up the knife and shows it to the lady. The maitre d' comes over and points at the lobsters.
Et n'oubliez pas nos langoustines.
Don't forget the langoustines.
He smiles at Mr. Bean and goes. Mr. Bean picks one up. He pokes out his rubbery bottom lip, scrunches up his face, and waggles the little creature's long dangling claws. Mr. Bean turns the langoustine around, pokes its body into his mouth and chomps his teeth down on the shell. With one eye wide open and the other tightly shut, Mr. Bean eats. The maitre d' stares at him gravely, then walks away. Mr. Bean munches on. He devours the remains, leaving just the head and claws dangling from his mouth. The lady at the next table glances round as Mr. Bean gobbles down the rest of the creature. She looks disgusted. Bug-eyed, Mr. Bean tries to put on a brave face as he puffs out his cheeks and forces himself to swallow. The lady reaches towards her bag. She stops short. Inside the bag, her phone's covered in slimy oysters. Mr. Bean sighs. He quickly whips off his napkin, takes some cash from his tie lining and puts it on the table, grabs his video camera and heads for the door. The lady reaches into her bag. Waiters come running. Mr. Bean slips away. Case in hand, Mr. Bean heads for a band of buskers. A guy with cropped hair drops some coins in their guitar case. Mr. Bean finds his train. He films the destination display. He stands by the open door. The guy with cropped hair, Emil, walks up.
Are we? Could you, on video?
Emil puts the coffee in the canned drink he's holding on the ground.
Gracias.
He takes the camera, which is focused on Mr. Bean's double chin. Mr. Bean gestures.
I'm back a bit.
He backs away.
Back.
Mr. Bean holds up his hands and Emil stops. Mr. Bean runs over and switches the camera on, then poses beside the open carriage door, smiling. Mr. Bean walks casually alongside the carriage. His face sags as a baggage cart with several trailers passes in front of him, obscuring Emil's camera work. Emil tries to hand back the camera, but Mr. Bean gestures emphatically for him to do it again. Emil films. Mr. Bean strolls along with a smarmy smile. He kicks over the coffee. Emil doesn't look best pleased. Dark-haired Mr. Bean lowers his brow and sticks out his bottom lip. He picks up the cup and the canned drink and puts them behind Emil. Mr. Bean, yet again, casually strolls along by the carriage. He stops by the door and gives a little wave. Emil returns the camera.
I got it.
Mr. Bean gets on the train. As Emil goes to get his drink, the door's shut and the train departs.
Stop! Help! Open the door!
There's nothing here!
Stop!
Emil runs alongside the train, banging on the window.
Help! Help!
Emil sprints ahead. Mr. Bean films him. In the carriage, Emil's young son, Stepan, frantically bangs the window. Distraught, Stepan shouts to his dad.
Papa, what should I do?
Get off at the next stop.
Papa!
The train glides on, leaving Emil behind. Mr. Bean stares at Stepan, who sinks dejectedly down in his seat. He's a smartly dressed boy in a white shirt and jacket and has short dark brown hair in a side parting. Holding his case, Mr. Bean slowly walks through the packed carriage looking for a seat. He reaches Stepan, who's sitting with his head flopped onto his hands on the table in front of him. Passengers watch quizzically as Mr. Bean sits down opposite Stepan, who doesn't look up. Mr. Bean glances out of the window at rows and rows of train tracks and power line structures whizzing by, then looks at Stepan and delicately raises his hand to his mouth. Stepan looks up bleary-eyed. He has a thin face, a pointy chin, and ears that stick out. Mr. Bean grins cheerily, but the boy's sullen expression is unaltered. Mr. Bean wrinkles his forehead and waggles his head from side to side. Stepan just stares at Mr. Bean, who has a little think. He points to the side of his head, then wiggles his ears up and down. Stepan doesn't move a muscle. Mr. Bean notices a male passenger staring at him disapprovingly. He widens his eyes at the man, then pulls a face at Stepan, turning down his bottom lip and crossing his eyes. Still no reaction from Stepan. Mr. Bean's face falls. He has another idea and takes a magazine page from his jacket pocket. He tears off three squares. Mr. Bean licks two of the squares of paper and sticks them to his eyelids. The third piece he licks and sticks to his tongue. He waggles his tongue and flutters his eyelids, making the bits of paper dance around. Stepan slaps him. The train speeds on past a parched yellow grass embankment. Mr. Bean's moved down the carriage. He peers over the back of a seat at Stepan, who turns round. Mr. Bean ducks out of view and stares down into his video camera. He rubs his slapped cheek. The train slows down. It has a sleek, sloping silver nose and two orange headlights. As it pulls into a station, Mr. Bean is asleep next to a bearded man. When the train stops, Mr. Bean judders awake. He rubs his eyes and looks round. Stepan walks past the window. Frowning, Mr. Bean gets up and walks along the carriage, slightly stooped, looking out of the window at the grey concrete platform. He rests on the arm of the seat and looks at Stepan, sitting alone on a bench in the sunshine. Mr. Bean frowns when he sees a scruffy bloke holding a carrier bag and a bottle of booze stagger up and stand beside the bench, swaying slightly. He looks at Stepan. Mr. Bean gets off the train and gives the man a stern look. The man turns to go and collides with a girder.
Pardon.
He staggers off. Mr. Bean smiles and nods at Stepan. Mr. Bean fidgets restlessly in front of Stepan, shuffling uncomfortably and patting his hands together. As Mr. Bean gets on the train, Stepan picks up a video camera and films him. Mr. Bean waves from the doorway, then frowns and checks his pockets. It's his video camera. He runs to Stepan. The door closes. Mr. Bean runs to it and slaps it. He flails around uselessly and the train pulls away. He runs beside it. Smiling, Stepan films Mr. Bean, who's alongside his train seat, which has his bag on it. He points frantically. The train carries on. Beside himself, Mr. Bean clenches his fists and jumps up and down on the spot. Stepan keeps filming. The station's deserted. Stepan wanders over to Mr. Bean, who's sitting on a bench muttering to himself. Stepan sits on the other end of the bench and puts the video camera down on the seat between them. Mr. Bean looks at it.
Yes.
Mr. Bean grumpily snatches up the camera and shoves it in his pocket. Seething, he twitches his fingers and crosses his legs. Stepan crosses his legs like Mr. Bean, left over right. Mr. Bean glances at Stepan and slowly uncrosses his legs. Stepan uncrosses his legs. Mr. Bean crosses his right leg over his left, and Stepan copies him. Mr. Bean slumps back.
Ow.
Stepan throws up his hands and copies Mr. Bean, who scowls at him. Mr. Bean crosses and uncrosses his arms and legs in quick succession, and Stepan does the same. Finally, one after the other, they shake with frustration, then stare at each other. Mr. Bean takes a deep breath. They both get up and watch a sleek TGV train pull into the station. It's silver grey with a blue band along the sides. The train's not stopping. Emil's holding a piece of paper against the window.
Papa!
Stepan and Mr. Bean run alongside the train.
Papa, what should I do?
Stepan sees that the paper has can and a phone number written on it.
Mobile telephone.
Mr. Bean pulls out his camera and runs along, filming the train. Mr. Bean gets the piece of paper in his viewfinder. Mr. Bean trips over. Later, Stepan replays the video and zooms in on the number on the paper Emil is clutching.
His fingers are over the last two numbers.
By a payphone, Mr. Bean gets out his passport and ticket, then his notebook and pen. He writes down the number, then a list of possible last digits.
Right. 608. I'll write down all the possibles. 01, 02, 03. 3, oh, 4, 99.
He underlines the last of a very long list, then gets some coins from his wallet, gives the telephone receiver to Stepan, and puts a coin in the slot and dials.
Hello?
Hello.
It was a woman at the hairdresser's. They try the next number. An undertaker takes the phone from the coat pocket of a dead man lying in a coffin and answers it.
Allô?
Monsieur Dupont n'est pas disponible.
Mr. Dupont is unavailable.
He returns the phone to Mr. Dupont's pocket. As Mr. Bean tries the third number, a train pulls into the station.
Allô?
A baby dips a mobile into his juice.
Hurry up and get on.
They get on the train and Stepan sits down. Mr. Bean puts his notebook in his pocket and looks out the window. He sees his passport, ticket, and wallet sitting on top of the payphone. His eyes bulge, his mouth hangs open, and he faints. The train speeds along a bridge over a river and marshland. A uniformed ticket inspector walks into the carriage.
Messieurs, dames, contrôle des billets.
Tickets, please.
Merci, monsieur.
Stepan points the inspector out and Mr. Bean gets up. He shoos Stepan under the seat, then urgently backs out through the glass sliding door and goes into the toilet. He shuts the toilet door and keeps his ear pressed to it. Mr. Bean listens for a moment, then slowly turns and sees a young man staring at him. Flustered, Mr. Bean yanks the door open and comes face to face with the ticket inspector, a chubby blonde-haired lady who glowers at him. Mr. Bean raises his brows innocently and glances at the chap in the loo, then pulls a pathetic smile. Stepan's thrown off the train, followed by Mr. Bean, who tumbles to the ground. As Stepan helps Mr. Bean up, the train doors close. They watch the train leave. Mr. Bean flexes his knee. Mr. Bean and Stepan wander through the station. Stepan sees an elegantly dressed woman sitting on a bench reading a magazine. He turns to Mr. Bean and holds up his hands to tell him to stay put. He then walks up beside the woman with his head slightly bowed and his hands cupped in front of him.
Excuse me, she looks at him. Can I have some money, please, so I can telephone my dad?
She turns back to her magazine. Stepan's face crumples.
Please, please.
Mr. Bean watches nervously as the woman digs in her purse and gives Stepan some money. They've caught the attention of a suited security guard.
Thank you.
As Stepan turns away, his tears quickly fade. He grins at Mr. Bean, gives him the OK sign and walks off. Mr. Bean adopts a similarly meek stance and shuffles up to the woman with his hands cupped. She stares at him. He pretends to cry, wiping his eyes. Indignant, the woman picks up her bags and walks off. The balding security guard watches bemused. Mr. Bean shrugs at Stepan. Stepan steps over and gives Mr. Bean a shiny coin.
Yes!
They go to a payphone. Stepan picks up the receiver. Mr. Bean puts the coin in the slot and dials the next number on the list. Mr. Bean pulls a face at the CCTV camera. Emile's with his wife in a hotel room.
I gave him my number. He will ring. Don't worry, he will ring.
A maid walks in and answers her mobile.
Hello?
Hello?
It's Stepan. Frowning, he hangs up. Sitting on the bed, Stepan's worried parents frown. Mr. Bean crosses the number off the list and pulls a face. Stepan presses the coin release button on the phone and checks the tray. Mr. Bean does the same with the next phone. The security guard watches the pair with interest. Mr. Bean sees him and he and Stepan run out of the building with the security guard close behind. The guard stops and calls after them.
Stop them!
They run away.
Vandals!
Mr. Bean and Stepan cross a road and wander along a pavement.
I'm hungry. Colourful fruit appears in the viewfinder of Mr. Bean's video camera. They're at a market. Punnets of lush red strawberries. He films a delicious-looking pizza being slid into an oven. Stefan and Mr. Bean stand staring longingly at trays of lovely cakes. Mr. Bean licks his lips, then looks away and starts to walk on. Mr. Bean gives Stefan a shove.
Come on.
At a CD store, the seller puts a CD on. While Stepan looks at the CDs, Mr. Bean notices a band of buskers playing by a pizza van. It's exactly the same band that were playing in the station in Paris. Mr. Bean watches people throw coins into the open guitar case on the ground, which already glitters with loose change.
Oh, yeah.
An idea comes to Mr. Bean, who grins deviously. Stepan goes up to the CD seller.
Hey!
Hey!
Do you have some proper music? Something that I'd like to listen to.
Bonjour, monsieur.
As Stepan goes on, the CD seller frowns quizzically at him and serves a customer. At the back of the stall, a speaker mysteriously moves to the edge of a shelf, pulled along by its cable. It falls off. Okay, never mind. Bye.
Allez, salut.
Mr. Bean crawls out from under one of the stalls with the speaker, and Stepan gives him the thumbs up. Mr. Bean gives a thumbs up back, then Stepan starts filming as Mr. Bean puts down the speaker and lays a white hanky on the ground. At the record stall, the guy changes CDs. Mr. Bean looks down at the speaker by his feet. Mr. Bean crouches down as though sitting on an invisible stool and plays an imaginary piano. Passers-by glance at Mr. Bean and Stepan films the act. Now Mr. Bean swaggers and gyrates as he plays a pretend guitar. He hops along the pavement, kicking out his leg. Now he tries to act sexy as he goes into a gawky dance.
She called me Mr. Bombastic.
He thrusts his hips and kicks his foot back and forth as he goes into a rubber-legged strut. Mr. Bean listens to the speaker, then starts to mime along to the singing. He runs over to a woman at a stall, pinches a sweater from round her shoulders, and puts it over his head like a woman's hair. He carries on miming and doing emotional gestures, while Stepan covers his eyes and shakes his head. Mr. Bean pulls out the linings of his pockets to show they're empty. A small crowd has begun to gather as Mr. Bean grabs Stepan, pulls him over to the speaker, and lifts him up into his arms. A bystander takes the camcorder and films as Stepan plays dead and Mr. Bean acts heartbroken as he mimes. Mr. Bean staggers around, holding the limp child, then runs back to the audience. His eyes bulge and his head trembles as he mimes with his mouth wide open. The crowd step a little closer as Mr. Bean lays Stepan down on the ground and plaintively holds his hands to his chest. Mr. Bean places a white tissue over Stepan's face and Stepan blows it into the air. Mr. Bean catches the tissue in mid-air and blows his nose with it. Mr. Bean clutches his hand to his chest as though his heart is breaking. He drops over onto his side and pretends to die beside Stepan. Stepan lifts his head to look at Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean gently puts his foot to Stepan's head and pushes it back to the ground. The crowd cheer and applaud and throw money onto the white hanky. Mr. Bean and Stepan get to their feet, and Stepan grabs a small wicker basket to catch more of the audience's money. Mr. Bean bows theatrically, and Stepan runs over to him with the basket of money. They scuttle off, clutching the money. A bus pulls up on a sun-kissed street, and Stepan spots it. He and Mr. Bean, stocked up with bags of food, run to the bus as the doors open.
They climb aboard and the driver looks over at them.
To Cannes.
Mr. Bean has a ticket in his mouth and it drops out. He dumps his armful of food on a seat and reaches down to pick up the ticket, but it blows out onto the street. Mr. Bean chases the fluttering ticket back into the marketplace and Stepan watches him from the bus. The ticket floats down and lands among a small group of chickens pecking at the ground. Mr. Bean creeps towards the chickens, but the ticket seems to have disappeared until he spots it stuck onto one of the chickens' feet. The chicken scuttles off and Mr. Bean runs after it. Locals look on in bemusement as Mr. Bean chases the chicken through the busy marketplace. Stepan gets off the bus and watches Mr. Bean hunting for the chicken. Mr. Bean looks under a stall, then snatches the lid off a basket, but the chicken's not there. The chicken scuttles under a stall. A rustic-looking old man picks the chicken up and shuts it in a wooden cage on the back of a pickup truck. Mr. Bean sees what's happened and runs towards the truck as it drives off. Outside a cafe, a pushbike leans against a concrete planter. Mr. Bean grabs the bike and takes off after the truck. Stepan stares wide-eyed as Mr. Bean races after the truck.
Damn.
Here you go.
Mr. Bean pedals after the chicken farmer's truck as they travel down a long rural highway flanked by bushes and huge green pastures. Mr. Bean pedals like mad on the rickety old bike to try and keep up with the truck. He starts to tire, and the gap between him and the truck increases. The leathery-faced old chicken farmer chews as he drives, unaware that Mr. Bean's chasing him. Back in town, Stepan walks towards the busker's brightly decorated camper van. A little later, the van drives off. On the rural highway, Mr. Bean looks exhausted in his dogged pursuit of the truck. A white Jeep motors up behind and beeps for him to get out of the middle of the road. Mr. Bean wobbles out of the way and the Jeep passes. Suddenly, he has an idea and grabs hold of the back of the vehicle. Mr. Bean grimaces as the Jeep speeds up. He seems to be enjoying the fast ride and holds his hand behind his head as the wind blows into his face. The Jeep indicates a turn to the right and Mr. Bean lets go and zooms along the highway as the Jeep turns off. Up ahead is a pack of bicycle racers, wearing crash helmets and lycra and riding high-tech racing bikes. Mr. Bean casually overtakes them on his rickety old bike. Mr. Bean's video camera lies in the front basket of the bike and films as he rides up close to the tailgate of the truck and spots the chicken with a bus ticket still stuck to its foot. In the front, the farmer chomps on a chicken drumstick as he drives. Mr. Bean reaches out to the latch on the wooden cage when an Alsatian suddenly appears and snaps at him. Mr. Bean slows down a bit as the Alsatian barks at him from the back of the truck. The truck pulls away from Mr. Bean, then turns off onto a rugged track. Mr. Bean has a fresh burst of energy and follows the truck. He comes to a farm and lays his bike down by the front driveway. The pickup truck is parked by one of the farm buildings. The door to the building is open and Mr. Bean scuttles towards it. He goes inside, then hides when he sees the farmer coming in through a doorway and stacking one empty cage on top of another. The farmer shuts the door and leaves. Mr. Bean creeps towards the door, opens it and steps through. His eyes widen. A vast room is filled with thousands of chickens. Mr. Bean crouches down and tries to spot his chicken, but it's no good. Mr. Bean comes out of the farm stomping and cursing angrily. He clenches his fists and growls in fury, then spots his bike lying by the driveway entrance. He runs over to the bike, which is now flattened and buckled out of shape. He looks up and down the road, then picks up his crumpled bike. He drops it down again, then spots his video camera, still in the basket and still in one piece. He grabs the camera and examines it, then breathes a big sigh of relief. He opens out the viewing screen and plays back the tape. The camera shows the pack of cycle racers speeding past, then a huge military tank that rumbles up the road and drives right over the bike. Mr. Bean frowns and looks up and down the road in bewilderment. He stands on the roadside with his thumb out. He waggles his thumb left and right and stares blankly into space. He glances to his left and looks up the empty road. A figure on a motorized bicycle suddenly appears through the heat haze on the brow of the hill. Mr. Bean stares at the figure, which is about 500 yards up the road. He lowers his thumb and watches as the motorized bicycle slowly trundles closer. Mr. Bean stands with his hands on his hips and checks his watch. The figure on the bike gradually gets closer. The man on the motorized bike slowly inches up the road, while Mr. Bean sits on the grass verge picking blades of grass. The man on the bike crawls closer. Mr. Bean lies on his back on the verge and spits out a stalk of wild grass. He looks up as the bike slowly approaches. Mr. Bean gets to his feet and holds out his thumb as the bike has almost reached him. The motorized bike rider is a burly man with a white handlebar moustache. He stops beside Mr. Bean and gestures him to get on the back of the tiny contraption. Mr. Bean perches on a little shelf at the back of the bike and the man makes the set off, but the bike doesn't move. The man gets off the bike and looks at the weedy engine, and Mr. Bean seems to have an idea as he stares at the handlebars. Mr. Bean glances behind him shiftily, then grabs the handlebars, sits on the seat, and sets off on the little bike. Doing all of 2 miles an hour, Mr. Bean trundles down the road. The mustachioed man walks after the bike and catches it up. He stares at Mr. Bean with his hands on his hips. Mr. Bean notices the stern-looking man and stops the bike. The man pushes him off, gets on the bike and wobbles off with an angry wave of his arm. Mr. Bean's left standing by a little wooden outhouse on the roadside. He stares after the departing bike, then looks back up the desolate highway. He puts his hands on his hips and notices the little outhouse. He looks carefully around the small wooden building and opens the door. He steps into the outhouse and a gust of wind blows the door shut behind him. While Mr. Bean's stuck in the little wooden building, 2 cars motor by. A nearly empty bus pulls up a couple of yards away from the outhouse. Mr. Bean desperately pokes his hand out through the gap at the top of the door, but the bus drives away. Through a little gap in the wooden shed, he sees the brightly painted camper van approaching. The camper van drives past with Stepan inside, singing along with the lively young passengers. Mr. Bean shakes the outhouse as hard as he can. The outhouse lifts up with Mr. Bean's feet poking out of the bottom. The outhouse looks like it's sprouted feet and moves forward a few steps before plonking down again. He lifts the outhouse once more and moves it round so it's facing the road. He turns the outhouse left and right as though it's looking up and down the road. Step by step, he walks slowly out into the middle of the road, still trapped inside the little wooden building. car transporter speeds past, showering broken timber across the road. Mr. Bean saunters up the road, dusting himself down. He takes a piece of wood out of his pocket and chucks it away, then sets off up the highway. Silhouetted against a stunning mottled amber sunset, Mr. Bean strides up a steep grassy hillside. Morning sunlight bathes Mr. Bean's face as he sleeps. One of his eyes pops open and he looks around. His other eye opens and he lifts his head to look at an idyllic traditional French town square. Mr. Bean blinks hard, then watches a couple of little kids playing on the dusty sun-kissed ground and a woman walking by holding a shopping basket. Mr. Bean sits underneath the wooden wagon and looks round at men sitting outside a cafe, one of whom plays an accordion. A man with a goat greets the local priest, and a little boy plays with a hoop while a girl plays hopscotch. A young waitress, wearing an apron and with her hair pinned up, comes out of the cafe holding a tray. Enchanted, Mr. Bean watches her put a couple of drinks on a table, then he starts to frown. Suddenly, the tank rolls into the square and fires a shell at the cafe, blowing a hole in the wall. A squad of Nazi soldiers run in, firing machine guns. Mr. Bean rushes out from under his wagon and pushes the waitress to the ground. Carson, the American film director, yells out from his chair beside a camera.
Cut! Cut! Cut!
What the hell is he doing?
Where did he come from? Some of us here are trying to make a work of art! Everyone, back in position!
The actors in Nazi uniform trudge back.
Get him in something different and put him in the background. You, sweetheart, you never stop, okay?
Mr. Bean's led off.
Remember, you're crazy for the taste of fruity yogurt.
Carson's with Sabine, the attractive young actress, and points to a tub of yogurt displayed amongst a selection of fresh fruit. The extras, dressed as German soldiers, are relaxing by a costume tent. More extras kill time inside the tent. Among them is Mr. Bean, now also dressed as a Nazi stormtrooper. He dusts down his tunic and wiggles his head, making his tin helmet wobble. He rubs his hands excitedly, then gets up and strolls around the tent. He practices clicking his heels and doing Nazi salutes. His Nazi salutes become more elaborate and he even does some with one arm pointing forward and another arm backwards. A man wearing officer's uniform walks past and Mr. Bean gives him a little salute. Mr. Bean starts goose-stepping across the tent, kicking his legs up high. Mr. Bean goose-steps back the other way and gets one of his feet wedged on the top of a clothes rail. The wardrobe mistress and another extra try to free Mr. Bean and end up tipping him over onto his back. A TV news report.
Can jury member Emil Duchevsky, the Russian film director, explain that his son Stepan was last seen on a train with a mysterious foreigner?
The TV shows CCTV footage of Mr. Bean pulling faces. The station security man says,
as soon as I saw him, I thought, he's evil.
Viewed through Mr. Bean's video camera, the Nazi attack starts again. Mr. Bean runs into the square with the rest of the troops, holding his camcorder on the barrel of his gun. Carson points.
The guy with the video camera is fired.
Mr. Bean goose steps around, and a sign on his camera reads, low battery.
You're fired!
He falls on his behind.
Gone again!
A crew member runs over to help him up. Mr. Bean wanders around, holding his video camera and a plug to charge it up. He wanders over to a bank of plugs and takes one of them out. A pyrotechnic panel goes dead as a couple of the crew talk to each other.
You ready?
Yep.
Action!
The tank rolls into the square, accompanied by the soldiers. Carson watches on a monitor as the tank fires at the cafe, but nothing happens.
Cut! Cut! Cut!
A crew member presses a button several times.
Where's my explosion?
Où son explosion?
All I want is an explosion, a little tiny explosion.
Une minuscule explosion.
Mr. Bean unplugs his camera and plugs the pyrotechnic panel back in.
Is it really so hard for you guys? I mean, all you have to do is this.
Carson presses the button and his hat goes flying into the air. Road led by a couple of police outriders. He crosses the road and films the grass verge, thrusting his video camera backwards and forwards. Smoke billows from the hillside town. Mr. Bean carries on strolling along the sun-kissed road as Carson's wide-brimmed hat finally falls back out of the sky and lands in the road behind him. Mr. Bean saunters through the tranquil countryside. He hears something, then looks behind him with a curious frown. Through the heat haze, a car approaches, so he smiles and holds out his thumb. As the car gets closer, he sees that it's a Mini, painted yellow with a black bonnet, exactly like his own. Mr. Bean stares in amazement as the Mini pulls up beside him, and Sabine, the pretty, sandy-haired actress, smiles up at him from the driver's seat.
Bonjour.
He leans down to her.
You saved my life earlier.
Oui. Oui.
Going far?
Oui, oui, oui.
He gestures to the car.
Isn't she a beauty?
He points to a front tyre.
Dunlop.
Oui. Mr. Bean stares at the little car in astonishment.
I'm going to Cannes.
Cannes.
He points the direction on his compass.
Come on, get in.
Oh, gracias.
Mr. Bean gets into the Mini and looks around in cheerful wonder. He notices that the steering wheel's on a different side to his own. Mr. Bean and Sabine drive along a pretty tree-lined road.
So, you're Spanish?
He shakes his head, still amazed at the car.
No, what is that accent? Wait, let me guess. You're not Italian.
T'es pas Italien?
No.
He points at the dashboard buttons with a grin and presses a few.
And you're not Greek, no?
He shakes his head, still flabbergasted at the automotive coincidence.
You are... You're Russian, yes?
Oui,
c'est ça. Oui. Oui.
Oui. A car overtakes.
What kind of idiot are you?
What kind of duck are you?
Sabine grins at Mr. Bean's attempt at French. Mr. Bean adjusts his wing mirror, then films his reflection. He holds the camera up outside the car and films the scenery. He films Sabine, who smiles at him.
Moi, c'est Sabine.
My name is Sabine. I am Sabine, and you are?
Mr. Bean points to himself.
Bean.
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 Bean, Sabine.
Bean, Sabine. Bean, Sabine. Bean, Sabine.
Sabine drives along a winding mountain road. There are colourful clothes on the back seat.
Do you like my costumes? I love dressing up.
She hands him a pamphlet.
My invitation to the Cannes Film Festival. Remember the director of the yogurt commercial?
Mr. Bean taps a picture of Carson Clay.
Oh, oui, oui.
I have a small part in his film. I'm going to be a big star.
Printed on the ticket is Playback Time to Carson Clay.
He says it's his masterpiece. Oh, I need the loo, sorry.
Sabine pulls into a car park. She gets out of the car and trots off to the loo. Mr. Bean gets out and paces around. He notices a big hoarding advertising sun cream. There's a picture of a beautiful sandy beach on the advert. He wags his finger at the advert and wanders off. Mr. Bean goes into a cafe and holds out his compass. He wags his hand in front of him, then closes the compass. Mr. Bean sits down at a table, fidgets and looks around impatiently. As he turns to look in front of him, his face falls. Stepan slaps him. He's sat down opposite. They both grin.
I never got on the bus. I was with these cool guys.
The band of buskers come over and give Mr. Bean a friendly slap round the face. Stepan mimes strumming a guitar and the band starts to play. One of the band knocks out a rhythm with salt and pepper pots. Another beats a jug like a drum. Returning from the toilet, Sabine stops and stares at Mr. Bean and Stepan, who are standing clapping their hands above their heads. Stepan takes the video camera and films Mr. Bean pulling faces. Sabine dances along to the music, grinning. Mr. Bean sways jerkily from side to side. Later, Sabine drives her Mini with Mr. Bean beside her and Stepan in the back watching the video from the cafe.
I can't wait to show this to Papa.
It's amazing meeting your son like that.
Stepan leans to Mr. Bean with a cheeky smile.
Is she your girlfriend?
Mr. Bean's clueless as Sabine and Stepan grill him.
You're full of surprises.
Are you going to marry her?
So, does that mean you're married?
Oui, oui.
Ah. Perplexed, Mr. Bean wrinkles his brow.
Typhoon! Papa!
Mr. Bean picks up Sabine's mobile phone and points at it.
Oui, oui, oui.
Mr. Bean opens up his notebook and dials the next number on the list. He hands the phone to Stepan. A man standing at a urinal when his mobile rings.
Hello? Hello?
He drops the mobile into the urinal. Mr. Bean crosses the number off the list. The maitre d' of the restaurant at the station is having a sandwich on a bench when his mobile rings.
Je vous écoute.
Another number off the list. An anxious-looking man in a suit answers his mobile.
Estelle, dis-moi que tu m'aimes.
Estelle, tell me you love me or it's over.
Mr. Bean frowns and hangs up. The man is standing on the edge of a high bridge over a river. He jumps. Sabine drives over a vast modern road bridge supported by a series of huge white pillars with parallel suspension cables running down from them. The sun sets and glistens on the structure, which spans a lush pastoral landscape. At the wheel, Sabine looks tired. In the back, Stepan looks bored. Mr. Bean bobs his head around as he tries out the ringtones on Sabine's phone. The Mini whizzes along a motorway in the dark with its headlights on. Mr. Bean slumped in his seat, still trying out the ringtones. Sabine is leaning forward with her hands on the wheel. Her eyelids droop as she tries to stay awake. Her eyes close and her head flops forward onto the steering wheel. Mr. Bean jerks bolt upright and grabs the wheel. He gives Sabine a shake, but she's out for the count. Mr. Bean looks around anxiously, then clambers towards the driver's side, bending over the steering wheel. He keeps glancing between Sabine, who's flopped back asleep in her seat, and the road ahead. He turns the wheel sharply to the left. Huh? The Mini skids round through 360 degrees, during which Mr. Bean swaps seats with Sabine. He smiles contentedly and drives on. He glances back at Stepan, who slept through the whole thing. Mr. Bean gets comfy in his seat and grins. Stepan stretches out across the back seat. Sabine's fast asleep as the Mini whizzes along. Mr. Bean stares ahead wide-eyed, then suddenly nods off. He quickly recovers himself, then proceeds to slap his right cheek with his right hand and his left cheek with his left hand over and over again. Mr. Bean stares ahead maniacally, then his head droops forward as he nods off. He pops up again and bites his wrist. He hangs on like a dog with a bone for a moment, then lets go and shakes out his hand. He looks round at his sleeping passengers and smiles, then nods off again. He wakes himself and shakes his cheeks. Mr. Bean glances down at the dashboard and presses in the cigarette lighter. He pokes his tongue out and keeps glancing down at the lighter. The cigarette lighter pops out. Mr. Bean pulls it out and rests his hand on the steering wheel. He pushes the index finger of his left hand against the glowing golden end of the lighter. His eyes bulge and he shakes with pain. He sticks his finger in his mouth, then replaces the cigarette lighter. Frowning, he keeps shaking his fingers. He clenches his fist and grins. Sabine shifts around in her sleep, coming to rest with her cheek pressed against the window. Mr. Bean's dropped off again. He wakes with a start. He holds his eyes open with his fingers. He shakes his hand in frustration, then spots something. He picks up a box of matches and shakes them. The little yellow Mini speeds on through the night. Next morning, Stepan's still dozing on the back seat. Slumped in the passenger seat, Sabine slowly wakes up.
We made it.
She looks at Mr. Bean. He has two matchsticks wedged between each of his brows and his cheeks to keep his eyes open.
The sea! I can see the sea!
They get out of the car.
C'est magnifique!
They're on a cliff overlooking the magnificent Bay of Cannes. Stepan films with the video camera. Mr. Bean and Sabine pose for the camera.
Merci.
Thank you.
She kisses Mr. Bean on the cheek and they both grin. Stepan runs up to them. Can you video me now? Sabine wraps her arms around Stepan and they smile as Mr. Bean films them. Sabine runs along to a telescope and looks through it. Stepan looks out across the ocean.
You can see Cannes over there.
Stepan poses like a muscle man for the camera. Sabine looks at her watch.
C'est pas possible. La première, ça commence dans une heure.
Oh my goodness, the premiere starts in an hour.
They get in the car and Mr. Bean drives them away. In Cannes, crowds watch as guests walk along a red carpet. One of them is Emile, who looks around anxiously.
Bienvenue et welcome to the 59th Cannes International Film Festival. And on the red carpet is Mr. Hans Clay, the director of our premiere, Playback Time. And you remember Mr. Emile Dushevsky, pending today despite there being no news of his missing son.
Heading along a cliffside road, Sabine brushes makeup across her face. She dabs Stepan with it. Stepan films the fuel gauge. The needle's on empty. Mr. Bean taps the gauge. The Mini lurches into a petrol station.
I'm going to get changed. Fill her up.
Sabine runs to the service station. Stepan tries on a blonde wig on a stage in Cannes.
Mesdames, mesdemoiselles, messieurs, voici Monsieur Carson Clay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Carson Clay.
Carson Clay, all in black and with his left arm in a sling, stands in front of a deep red curtain with the announcer to one side.
This film is for all of us who hunger for truth. For all of us who cry out in pain. For those whose souls yearn to sing.
He looks at the announcer.
He says it's a very good film.
An anxious-looking Emile is in the audience. A TV's on in the service station.
As pictures were released of the Englishman believed to have abducted the son of Cannes Film Festival jury member Emile Dushevsky, a positive ID of the boy was made at a service station yesterday. The police now believe the man is traveling with a female accomplice. A national manhunt has been launched, and stop and search procedures have been instigated right across France.
Sabine, now in a glamorous pale green dress, is standing staring at the TV. She runs out to the car and gestures for Mr. Bean to move over, then gets into the driving seat and glowers.
You are not a Russian.
No.
You are not this boy's father?
Mystified, he glances at Stepan.
No.
You are English?
Oui. Oui.
You know, the whole of France is looking for you. Now they look for me too. Who are you? Where are you going?
He gets out his notebook and points to the picture of the beach.
To the beach.
Stony-faced, Sabine raises her brows and prepares to drive off. In the auditorium, Carson is now sitting amongst the audience watching his film. On the cinema screen, Carson travels up an escalator with a haunted expression on his face. Captions appear. Carson Clay Pictures present Carson Clay in a Carson Clay production of a Carson Clay film. In the cinema, Carson shares a satisfied smile with the man sitting next to him. Another caption, playback time. The film runs in reverse for a second. Sabine drives past a massive hoarding with the CCTV pictures of Mr. Bean and Stepan on it.
This boy's father is a judge at the premiere of my film. We'll take him there.
Mr. Bean wags his finger and frowns.
And the beach.
Forget the beach. I have only one scene in this movie. I am not going to miss this premiere. Not for you, not for the police, okay? Now, do as I say.
She grabs a feather boa and some colourful clothes and flings them at him. They reach a checkpoint where two policemen stop the car. Sabine leans out of the window and smiles sweetly.
Arrêtez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
Bonjour, messieurs.
Bonjour, madame.
She glances round at Stepan.
Ma fille.
My daughter.
Wearing a long ginger wig and sunglasses, Stepan waves.
Ma mère.
My mother.
Mr. Bean's wearing a black dress with a scarf, dark glasses, a frilly white hat and lipstick.
Bonjour, madame.
Mr. Bean grins.
Gracias.
She's Spanish.
Buenos días, señora.
Sabine glances at Mr. Bean.
And very deaf. Sir, we're in a great hurry.
She holds up her ticket.
I don't want to miss my premiere.
The cops glance at each other.
No problem. Leave it to us.
Four police motorcycles escort them through town. Sabine pulls up behind a black car and they get out. The pavement's crowded with people behind barricades.
Come on, we'll find Papa.
Stepan's wearing purple trousers and a psychedelic poncho. Sabine smiles at the cops. Sabine goes up to a security guard with Stepan and holds out her ticket.
Here you are, sir.
It's for one person only.
No, she's my daughter, please.
Leave her with Grandma.
Watching from the car, Mr. Bean curls his lips and wobbles his head. Stepan stomps back round and gets in. Damn. Mr. Bean drives away. In a rooftop car park, he parks the Mini in amongst a line of smart black cars. Mr. Bean looks across at the back entrance to the cinema, where a guard is standing. A woman shows a VIP pass to the guard, and he lets her in. Mr. Bean has an idea.
What is life but a teardrop in the eye of infinity? Together we lived, we laughed, we loved.
Carson watches himself captivated.
But you left me. And now I walk this wilderness alone.
Mr. Bean steps out of the Mini. Wearing black stilettos, he stands unsteadily and shuts the door. With Stepan at his side, Mr. Bean totters up to the security guard. He quickly flashes a pass at him.
Merci, madame.
In the cinema...
What use is a cop with a broken heart?
Carson stares out of the screen.
Without you, I'm nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
A woman in the audience yawns.
Nothing.
Mr. Bean and Stepan run along a corridor. A security guard runs up.
Your pass, please, madame.
He opens the pass and stares at a crude pen drawing of Mr. Bean and Stepan in their disguises. He frowns. Mr. Bean whacks him round the head with his handbag. Another guard appears. In the cinema...
The Romans lit fires in the skulls of their dead so they might forget their past. Wherever I look, I'm reminded our relationship is dead.
Mr. Bean and Stepan emerge from a doorway.
Hey, you okay?
They're backstage behind the screen.
Kruta.
Mr. Bean bends down and points at Stepan.
Papa.
You stay.
You okay?
Hey, Papa.
On the outside, yeah. But inside...
Mr. Bean peers through the curtain into the auditorium.
Nothing.
Mr. Bean sees Emil in the audience. Standing backstage, Stepan stares up at Carson's film on the screen. He pulls off his wig, sunglasses and poncho.
The rock is making a drop. Bah.
Mr. Bean tries to get Emil's attention.
It's going down, boss.
Emil looks around.
Boss? Do we go?
He's cornered, boss.
Mr. Bean ducks.
We know he's in there.
Mr. Bean sees a security guard. On screen, Carson puts shades on.
Let's do it.
On screen, the guys run in slow motion. In the cinema, Mr. Bean crawls along the floor. Carson smiles as he watches his film.
Okay, boss.
Nothing.
Mr. Bean pops up beside Sabine.
The little boy. Shh. Oh, look, this is my scene.
She walks along a bridge.
It's winter now, and the seeds of love lie deep within me. Will spring ever come? I thought by now I'd have met another. But it was not to be.
As Sabine walks past Carson, she briefly touches his back.
Forget my scene.
Crouched beside Sabine, Mr. Bean takes off the sunglasses to get a better look at the film.
But I can show the world that you were once mine. I can relive our time together. Those precious memories that I yearn to forget.
On screen, Carson plays home movies from a video camera. Mr. Bean has a thought and takes out his video camera.
Time slips through my fingers like sand.
Mr. Bean goes through a door. Watching the film, Sabine shakes her head and sighs. Mr. Bean hurries into the projection room where he quickly removes his disguise. In the film, Carson stands on a windy balcony. Watching, he smiles.
The fires of our love have burnt out, and now there is nothing. Nothing but a sky black with ashes.
The screen goes black.
I long to forget you, your kisses like soft fruit. Your laughter bursting into daylight like silver. Your smile like the curl of the sickle moon in the night sky.
Carson frowns. Mr. Bean's plugged his video camera into the projector. Sabine is on the screen.
Your luminous beauty, your goodness, your patience. How you hung on my every word.
Carson glares angrily. Mr. Bean fast forwards from the footage of Sabine in the yogurt advert to her driving her Mini.
You are now in the arms of another. Who is he, this man?
Mr. Bean waves.
Does he have poise? Does he have grace? Is he a lover or a fighter? What powers does he have over you? Do your eyes dance like fireflies in the night when he comes to you? Does your body soften as your lips shape his name?
Carson and a security guard rush to the projection room, but the door's locked.
I can't believe you've been so selfish.
Sabine grins as she watches.
Open the door!
The camera's on fast forward.
Open up!
You are consumed by love.
It's Mr. Carson Clay!
Mr. Bean sees Carson through the spy hole. Carson gestures for the security guy to barge the door down.
How does he cast a spell over you? Enchant you, beguile you?
Mr. Bean dances in fast forward.
Why did you shut me out?
In the projection room, Mr. Bean slides a cabinet in front of the door. He piles a chair, a coat rack, and a case on top of it, then adds a plastic cup for good measure. He listens, then smiles contentedly.
Come on.
Mr. Bean stares at another door. Outside, a security guard is putting the boot in. Carson turns the handle and opens the door. He glowers at the guard and goes in.
Where is he?
He's gone.
Where's the projectionist?
I struggled to survive. When I look back on the darkest moments of our history...
Bean is a Nazi.
I know that we would part.
Whose is this?
And that now I must let you go.
Mr. Bean falls from the projection room window into the cinema.
We will know a deeper, surer love. It begins fleetingly, but it deepens and endures.
He walks across the seats.
It grows amidst all the strangeness of life. It is a beauty we can always depend on. It is the beauty of friendship.
On screen, Sabine kisses Mr. Bean on the cheek. Carson sees this and scowls. Meanwhile, Mr. Bean steps from seat back and ends up on stage in front of the screen. Carson kicks the projector. A freeze frame of Stepan with his arms in the air. Emil stands.
You stole my son!
No, he didn't!
Emil runs onto the stage.
Where's my son? Where is he?
Mr. Bean points. Stepan appears in front of the screen, which still has his image on it. The audience applauds and stands. Stepan runs to his father, who picks him up and hugs him.
Captain!
His mother joins them.
Take back, Mama!
Carson marches up to Mr. Bean and taps him on the shoulder. They face each other. Carson glowers, then looks at the ecstatic audience who continue to stand applauding. Sabine comes over. Carson suddenly grins, grabs Mr. Bean by the shoulders and kisses him on the cheeks. At a press conference...
A very strange thing happens when you're making a work of art. Sometimes you don't quite see the elements coming together, and then when it all comes together, there's something magical, something organic, and such a thing happened today, and everyone said this wouldn't work. They said it was a terrible risk, but I want to keep on making films just like this.
The video-film combination,
it's something that's really been done before, but not quite like this. I'm glad the reception was so great, and I'm just happy to be here. Vive la France. Bless you, bless you.
Mr. Bean's gone. Carson takes a bow with Sabine at his side. Holding his video camera, Mr. Bean walks into the hotel foyer. He freezes when he sees an open door. He slowly blinks, then stares. His mouth hangs open in amazement. Beyond the doorway is bright sunshine and the sea.
La mer qu'on voit danser.
An excited smile spreads across Mr. Bean's face. He flips open the viewfinder and switches on his camera. Filming his every step, Mr. Bean walks through the doorway, up some steps, and across a rooftop. He steps off the edge and along the top of a signboard on the back of a truck parked on a busy road. Traffic stops at some lights. Mr. Bean walks from the signboard across pallets on the back of a truck, then across the roof of a bus, two vans, and a pickup loaded with sun loungers. He steps into a cool box, then down over surfboards on racks towards the beach, where he steps on a sunbathing man's chest. The beach is packed with bathers and the sky is clear pale blue. Grinning ecstatically, Mr. Bean walks across the golden sand to the water's edge and holds his arms up in the air triumphantly. He turns full circle, then skips along the water's edge with his trousers rolled up. Up the beach, a TV camera crew are interviewing Sabine. Someone holds out a pen and paper to get her autograph. Mr. Bean, still filming, he stops and looks down. Stepan's grinning up at him. He drags Mr. Bean to a sand sculpture of a mini he's made. Mr. Bean films it, then moves the camera back and forth, zooming in and out on two footballs sitting on the sand. Nearby, Carson Clay is mimicking Mr. Bean's robotic filming technique in front of some students. He sharply turns his camera to the left. Mr. Bean stands in the water, swaying back and forth. Everyone mimes along to the song. In the water, Mr. Bean sways fluidly from side to side and flutters his hands about. He totters away from a little wave. The band of buskers are there, miming along. Mr. Bean sits on the beach and films his feet waggling from side to side. He then strolls along with all his new friends gathered behind him in a big group, all miming along to the song. They raise their arms in the air. ITFC audio description written by Matthew Vickers and Alan Blyton was read by Lonnie Evans. You gonna break your neck so shut up. Bean standing at the water's edge, pointing his video camera down at the sand, he writes in the sand with his big toe. F-I-N. Fan. Water washes over the letters and a message flashes in the viewfinder. Low battery. Water washes the letters away and the sun shimmers on the wet sand.